From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come past the 16th. It's Curvin! Curvin, Brian Hernandez Jr. for Joe Sharp. And Curvin has won the TwinSpires.com Louisiana Derby.
With the lead, it's Practical Joke, but Guinevere over the top is on to the front now. Three rules, battles on gamely. These three well clear of the others, but it will be Guinevere and Javier Castellano moving clear. Guinevere for local trainer Antonio Sano romps in the fountain of youth.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Thunderstone trying to raise another effort. Epicharis in front. Thunderstone lunges again, and I think one of the last possible gaps.
Irish War cries in front because they come to the final 16th. Battalion Runner's not going with him. Then comes Cloud Computing down to the line. Irish War Cry has won the Wood Memorial.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning. Once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. A very happy Easter weekend to everyone tuning in throughout HRN Nation. We wish you a safe, happy, and healthy Easter weekend. And we, of course, continue to hop toward that first Saturday in May and the Run for the Roses, which comes up in just, you ready for this, 21 days, 10 hours, 32 minutes, and 26 seconds, and that was just for you, JT. Good morning.
There you go. It's getting closer by the second.
Yeah. Are you looking forward to the Easter Bunny tomorrow morning?
I am looking forward to the Easter Bunny. Yes, much more than I am the Kentucky Derby.
Come on. How can you say that? This is a wide-open Derby picture this year.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You would rather have just one horse that looks head and shoulders above it, like American Pharoah.
Like American Pharoah.
See, I think this, in its own way, adds a different element to the Derby, right? Because, first of all, you're going to have a great betting race. There's not going to be a single standout on that tote board. What do you think the favorite's going to be, 5-1?
Oh, yeah, probably 5 or 6.
In a 20-horse field.
Could be an all-box race, which is a little scary, times 20. Figure that one out.
Well, you think about what happened last week. We saw a maiden, IRAP, who, albeit was graded stakes place coming into the Bluegrass Stakes here at Keeneland. He ends up upsetting what many people thought was the number one Derby prospect on the trail in McCracken. Then we saw Irish War Cry take the wood, and Irish War Cry looks so bad in his previous race. The Fountain of Youth, he comes back and looks tremendous in the wood. And then you have Gormley, who has just been kind of steady, maybe flying under the radar just a little bit. He ends up winning the Santa Anita Derby in a very, very game performance.
Yeah, it was kind of like a big circle. You know, the three horses you mentioned were all near the top of everybody's lists for quite a while, and then they threw in Clunkers, or in McCracken's case, had a little bit of a sore ankle for a few weeks, or a couple weeks anyway. And so they all came back full circle. I thought McCracken's race was excellent, nice prep for the Derby.
He'll be fine.
He's been training great, looked good going into that race, ran a decent race, and now he's primed. I still think he's probably the leader in the clubhouse amongst all the horses, except for Classic Empire, who we see run today in Arkansas. He's a horse that really has had the best speed figures and performances, but he's become a little bit unreliable. He's had issues in the past with some of his behavior, and he's kind of a thug. But we'll see what happens. He's reportedly training very well, and it's not a super tough field in Arkansas. So if he would run a big race today, I think his picture is bright if he can pull it off today. And whether he wins or runs a good second or third, you got to consider him. So that even muddles the picture more, because we don't know how these horses are going to come out of these races. Is McCracken going to move forward, or is that as good as he can run? What about this horse today if he performs good? But he's very unreliable. I mean, he's liable to lose it on Derby Day, too. I mean, there's a lot of question marks. So it's not cut and dried, and, we'll have to see what develops leading up to the Derby. I'll be out there watching the works and all, like I always do.
The Arkansas Derby worth 100 points to the winner today, so a win and you're in. And really, the second-place finisher is going to get 40 points, so they're pretty much in as well. The Lexington Stakes at Keeneland today, just 10 points to the winner. Probably not going to have the impact that we've seen in past years from the Lexington. And certainly since they went to the point system and made it a 10-point race, it doesn't really play into the Derby picture anymore. But all eyes will be on Arkansas for sure to see if Classic Empire can rebound and come back to where he was, much like Irish War Cry did last week up in New York. All right, we are on location today, taking the show out of our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios and returning to the Lexus store of Lexington, which is on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, which means that we are privileged to be joined by the godfather, Tony Attiano, right here in the beautiful showroom at the Lexus store. And the godfather, hey, look, he's been in the horse business for a very, very long time. He used to have a farm down in Ocala. He, of course, has been a supporter of this program, and the Lexus store has been a supporter of this program ever since I started, all the way back in 2003. They were one of the first sponsors that ever came on board when I first started on the program, and boy, what a relationship it's been, and we are truly family now, and I welcome in the godfather, Tony Attiano.
Buongiorno. Buongiorno, Mike and Jude. My God, it's unbelievable. It's like old home we give.
Thanks for having us back out. This is beautiful.
It's our pleasure. I mean, we have beautiful cars, and now we have beautiful commentators. Can't beat that.
Nobody has ever described us as beautiful. The whole face for radio thing?
You can't beat that. I got to tell you a quick story if you have a quick minute.
You know, plenty of time.
My son's with the jockey
club. You're the godfather.
My son's with the jockey club, and he had gotten a phone call. He told me about 3 weeks ago. He got in a phone call, a long-distance phone call, and the guy was asking him questions. He owned a bunch of horses, and the guy was from New York. And he said, I want you to advise me do things like that. And he does a lot of that stuff for them, okay? You know, he was an ex-trainer, and he's worked on the track. He's worked with some pretty good people. You know, Scotty Schulhofer and Jack Van Berg. It's not bad. My son said, you know what, why don't you just shoot me an email, and this way I can review everything you have, and then I'll call you back. The guy says, okay. He says, give me your email address. He said, okay. It's T-O-T-T-A-T-I-T-I-N-O. You know, and the guy goes, wait a minute. You're with Lexus. He said, Lexus? He says, yeah, I hear they talk about you every morning, every Saturday morning on the Equine Forum. The guy's calling from New York. He listens to the show in New York.
Beautiful.
Is that wild?
Beautiful.
You were out of town. I wanted to give you a call and let you know.
I was. Yeah, I made a little trip to Canada this week. We were up there for the Sovereign Awards, continued our reputation as the Buffalo Bills over the past couple of years. We were one of three finalists in the media category. Our broadcast of the Queen's Plate from last year was one of three finalists. We were an also-ran in that category, but congratulations to the folks at Woodbine Entertainment. They won the Sovereign Award for their coverage of Tepin's win in the Woodbine Mile last year, and from all accounts, I haven't seen the broadcast yet. It was a television broadcast aired throughout Canada. It was one of the best things that Woodbine has ever produced, so congratulations to them. Well deserved.
Yeah, that was great. It was a tough category, but it's always a nice thing to be nominated, whether you win or not. It's nice that they recognize your work.
The Sovereign Awards were great. They were held at a really, really pretty venue, and they probably had 300 or 400 people there at least, maybe even more. Frank Stronach was there. He, of course, received a couple of different awards, including leading breeder with Adina Springs. It seems like they win that every single year. They're so good.
Well, he bought Canada, didn't he?
Pretty much.
I thought I read that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was great. So a wonderful time. Our thanks to everybody at the Jockey Club of Canada and everybody who took the time to nominate us for that category.
Absolutely.
It was really, really wonderful. Really great stuff.
Well, you guys deserve it. I mean, seriously, I was hoping that you'd win it, but I didn't want to ask this morning because I figured I didn't see any champagne, so I figured, well, I'm not going to say anything.
I was going to bring the trophy with me.
You and Ken Ramsey. Take it with.
Ken Ramsey, by the way, you're going to hear a little clip from Ken Ramsey coming up later in this show because we're going to visit with John Siskos, who is the Director of Communications at Woodbine. It's their opening weekend, opening day today up there in Toronto. Ken Ramsey was part of that coverage last year of the Queen's Plate because he won with Sir Dudley Digs. And Jeff Bloom caught up with Ken right after the race, almost as soon as the horse crossed the finish line. And the raw emotion, and Ken Ramsey is always a great soundbite anyway, but the raw emotion from Ken was so, so good. We're going to replay that little clip for you. It's about a minute long, so stay tuned for that. You're going to enjoy that later on.
Yeah, that was a great day. It was a great day for Mr. Ramsey, and it was – You know, a lot of fun for us. It was our first trip up there, and
yeah,
they treated us so well, and we're looking forward to going back this year.
Yeah, we'll be back in July. We're going to kick the show off with Boyd Browning from Fasig Tipton. He, of course, the president and CEO of that great organization. They are looking forward to their turf showcase sale, the inaugural sale coming up on September 10th. It is for horses that, well, they truly have turf appeal, and looking forward to visiting with Boyd coming up after the first commercial break. Then John Siskos from Woodbine will be here right around 8:35 Eastern. Norm Cassie, who works with his dad, Mark Cassie, they, of course, won a Sovereign Award for Canada's leading trainer again. I think that's 9 out of the last 11 years that Mark Cassie has taken home that honor. Well, Norm is going to be with us at 9 o'clock Eastern to tell you all about the Juvenile Champion Classic Empire in today's Arkansas Derby. And then at 9:25 Eastern time, Carl McAtee will stop by. He is with Darby Dan, and their stallions really, really on a roll. They have the number one freshman sire in Shackleford, whose Malagasy goes to the post this afternoon in the Arkansas Derby. They have Dialed In, who's the sire of Fountain of Youth winner Gunnavera. So Carl is going to be with us at 9:25 Eastern and tell us all about that. And then, of course, our Road to the Kentucky Derby segment at the end of the program, which is presented by Gainesway. And in between, we'll sprinkle in a little conversation with the Godfather here at the Lexus store. So it's a very busy show. We're going to kick it off next, right after this first break. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Adina Springs Stallion Point of Entry, boasting 5 Grade 1 victories, more than any other first crop stallion.
Oh, the classy Point of Entry would not be denied.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by 4 lengths.
Point of Entry has defeated Animal Kingdom.
And here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a 5-race winning streak.
A son of the great Dynaformer and from a remarkable female family, Point of Entry's first 4 dams are Grade 1 winners and or Grade 1 producers. His progeny are the subject of excellent reports from the U.S., England, and Japan, with his first crop 2-year-olds recording the fastest breeze times of any first crop stallion and selling for an average of over $358,000. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs. Visit adinastallions.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what would be a common misunderstanding between an insured and the insurance company?
Mike, one issue is a policy condition that requires notification when an insured animal becomes sick or injured.
Do you mean in life-threatening situations?
Not just then, but if a veterinarian is called in for treatment other than routine care. Take, for example, if a yearling colt gets his foreleg caught in a fence and tears the skin. The coat is stitched up and everything seems fine, but later the coat develops a systemic infection. Then there is a serious situation that the company knows nothing about.
So the company needs to know, even if it's not a life-threatening situation.
That's right. It's a policy condition. The company has a stake in the health of the animal because of the existing insurance policy. The company might want to have its own vet examine the horse. In most cases, though, just a call or email is all that is needed.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
Protect your horse and perform your best with Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Flair strips are drug-free, self-adhesive nasal strips that are proven to reduce bleeding and provide benefits for horses at all levels. Designed by equine veterinarians and constructed from FDA-approved human medical-grade materials, Flair strips are used around the globe and are scientifically proven to make breathing easier, reduce fatigue, reduce lung bleeding, and help horses recover quicker. Visit FlairStrips.com to learn more or to find a dealer near you. Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Prevent. Protect. Perform.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Quarter mile to come, Lady Eli and Sunset Glow. Who would have guessed it? They are side by side coming to the eighth pole. Lady Eli gets the lead. Sunset Glow is second. Three more lengths to Miss Temple City. Final furlong of the Appalachian, and it is Lady Eli with Sunset Glow, and then Temple City third. Lady Eli returning to the races in fine fashion to take the Appalachian. Miss Temple City got up for second by a head over Sunset Glow in third. That will be a photo for place. 1:35.45.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN, coming to you live from the Lexus store of Lexington, right here in Lexington, Kentucky, on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, the Godfather, Tony Ottiano, here in the Lexus showroom, and Kurt Becker with the call of the Grade 3 Appalachian at Keeneland. That was it was in April of 2015, actually, and it was part of six consecutive victories by Lady Eli to begin her stellar career. She has done very little wrong. She has won 7 of 9. Her other two defeats, well, she was second, narrowly beaten in each of those, so she is ultra tough, and she goes postward later today in the Coolmore Jenny Wiley Stakes, a Grade 1 worth $350,000. You're going to hear coverage of that race right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network beginning 5:30 Eastern. You can tune in on affiliates across the country and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. JT, when you think about the Jenny Wiley and the history of the Jenny Wiley and so many of the big names that have won it, both on the trainer side, the jockey side, the equine side, and then you think about how that might play into what we're going to see September 10th here in Lexington at the Fasig Tipton sale. Horses that run in races like the Jenny Wiley and other major turf races around the country, what an opportunity for them to be showcased at that sale.
Yeah, well, it's going to be a fantastic sale. What a brilliant idea. I love grass racing personally. Yeah. I have a tendency to bet more money on grass races than dirt races. I think they're a lot more formful, and horses transfer their form better from grass course to grass course. It's not as inconsistent as the dirt is sometimes. But I'm really looking forward to that sale because those are my peeps. I know those pedigrees. I know what a turf horse looks like. I know what you need to do to win a turf race, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, think about this. Last year, nearly 7,000 races were run on turf in North America. More than 40% of greatest stakes this year will be turf races. So there is an unbelievable demand for horses that are, as they call it, that they have turf appeal. And Boyd Browning knows that better than anybody. He is the president and CEO of Fasig Tipton. Boyd, first of all, happy Easter, my friend, and welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. It's a beautiful day in Central Kentucky and great racing throughout the United States. And it's a fun time of the year. We all have derby fever and enjoying springtime.
Yeah, we do have derby fever. Starting to get a little bit of that turf fever, too, with that announcement of the turf showcase sale coming up September 10th right here in Lexington at the Fasig Tipton Pavilion. Boyd, first of all, congratulations. As Jude just mentioned, an absolutely brilliant idea, and this really does fill a much-needed void in the sport. Well done.
Well, thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. We're obviously very, very excited about the inaugural sale, and we've received very positive feedback from both potential consigners and potential buyers thus far. So we're approaching it with great interest and great enthusiasm, and hopefully it can be something that can be a sale that can help change the perception and the attitude and and create a very positive spin on horses with turf appeal. And you know, you gave some statistics earlier, which were some of the same ones that we did in some our market research, and it was like, wow, there really is a niche and an opportunity here to help change the perception and to create a more vibrant marketplace.
Well, I'm all in favor of promoting turf racing. I think it's great for our game, and you're going to have a lot of people probably coming over from Europe to examine the horses in Japan, and that's great for our game as well, get fresh money in here.
Oh, yeah, and that's, you know, part of the appeal. I mean, there's so many, you know, really, really outstanding, you know, turf sires in America. You know, you initially come to, you know, everyone thinks, well, you've got Warfront and Kitten's Joy, and those two are kind of established worldwide. But, you know, but below that, there are, you know, numerous horses that have sired, you know, grade one winners on the turf, young, promising stallions that are in the pipeline. You know, and we looked at the success that the American bred horses had, like at Royal Ascot last year, and we look at what's happening really around the world, and it's an opportunity to help promote and to educate people. It's not, you know, screaming from the pulpit and just saying, hey, you know, look at us, how good we're doing in America with the horse that we're breeding. You know, I think we've at times taken a little bit of a, I don't know if it's the backseat or gotten a little bit of a black eye from other racing jurisdictions that tend to promote their own, they have a more parochial view and promote their own product. And this is, you know, an opportunity for us to, you know, make it really convenient and really easy on buyers who are going to likely be in Lexington at that time of the year to showcase some horses that they might not have seen or some pedigrees they might not have seen previously and really try to grow the buyer base for participation throughout America from a worldwide buying audience.
Hey, Boyd, Tony Attiano at Lexus.
Hey, Tony, how are you, sir?
How are you today?
I'm doing great.
All right,
you're
sounding good. Listen, I cut my teeth in this business at Fasig Tipton. Horses of racing age, Belmont Racetrack. My God, I can't even go back that far. I can't remember. I bought two mares right off the track, and I was in business. And Fasig Tipton is just a pathfinder or a path setter for everything. I remember a few years ago when you guys went to all the young sires, and you gave a lot of unknown horses and an opportunity to sell at one of the most prestigious sales companies in the world, and I think you're doing it again with the grass. Grass racing is becoming more and more and more popular. But like Jude said, in the rest of the world, grass racing is racing, and I mean this is ridiculous for us not to really take advantage of that. So
yeah.
I know you'll do a hell of a job because you're the man, there, Boyd.
Boyd, talk about the type of horses that would be the ideal fit.
We're not really very smart ourselves, but while we looked around and we saw, you know, our customers, the stallion farms in and around Central Kentucky, all making significant investments from, you know, horses like Flintshire to Noble Mission to Mashaw Wish to, you know, Windstar Standing Tourist. You know, Claiborne made a significant commitment. You go on and on throughout really every stallion roster in Central Kentucky now has horses with significant appeal, and that's a trend that's taken place over the last 2 to 3 years, and we're scratching our heads saying, well, you know, we've all the smart guys that do business with us are trending in this direction. Not trending, but they're making an investment and they're making a commitment, and we, you know, basically said, well, if they're doing it, we've got to help serve the marketplace and follow their instincts and follow their lead. So it was a pretty natural fit. You know, sometimes you look in the mirror and say, why didn't I think of this 2 or 3 years ago, or why didn't we come up with this idea? But we're all in, and we're going to do everything we can to make it a success.
Smart move.
Talking with Boyd Browning, president and CEO of Fasig Tipton, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Of course, the Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase sale comes up September 10th here in Lexington. That's the sale we're talking about now. But, Boyd, before we get to that point, you're going to be pretty busy with those yearling sales. You have your July sale, your Saratoga sale. Of course, you're getting ready for the sale up in Maryland, which takes place right after the Preakness. Tell me a little bit about what folks can look forward to over the next few months as we get closer to that turf showcase from Fasig Tipton.
Well, we'll kind of go in calendar order is the simplest way. You know, our next sale is our Maryland 2-year-old in training sale. which would be the Monday and Tuesday after the Bell or after the Preakness. I believe it's the 22nd and 23rd. Pardon me for not having the dates immediately handy. It's the Monday and Tuesday after the Preakness. Almost 600 horses catalog. Probably the best catalog we've ever put together in terms of pedigrees and physical confirmation reports that we've gotten from the consigners. Sale continues to produce, you know, top runners. Cover horse this year is a horse that's going to be likely favored in the Arkansas Derby, Malagasy. And, you know, the historical performance of horses coming out of that Maryland sale have been really pretty remarkable and one of the biggest races in the United States. And very, very, very excited about that sale. Then we kind of – that's our last two-year-old sale of the year. We fast forward into July. The July yearling sale in Lexington, you know, known for many, many years of being, you know, top physical individuals, early maturing, really, really athletic, physical type horses. We got jump started many, many, many years ago with having a good fortune of selling back to back, you know, Derby winners and Bold Forbes and Seattle Slough, and continue to produce, you know, top quality horses coming out of that sale. Along with the Horses of Racing Age sale, which Tony mentioned that we introduced 4 or 5 years ago, that kind of complements the July yearling sale. So, you know, plenty of activity then. And then August rolls around, and we've got, two major yearling sales at Saratoga. The quote-unquote main sale is you know, our premier yearling sale at Saratoga. You know, for almost 100 years, we're sneaking up. I think next year's our 100th anniversary or so at Saratoga. We're well into the 90 years of doing the yearling sales at Saratoga. The quality of success of graduates from that sale continues to be amazing. Stellar Wind, and a graduate, won her fourth or fifth grade one yesterday. I'm sitting on my patio screaming for her coming down the lane, and all my neighbors think I'm just crazy because they've kind of gotten used to hearing screaming on the patio when during racing hours. Champions like Teppan and Songbird and so forth are our sales graduates there, and it's our premier yearling sale, and we're busy recruiting yearlings for July in Saratoga right now. And then our final yearling sale at Saratoga is the New York bred sale. And, you know, I was thinking this morning, you know, the New York bred sale, probably when we started it 20 years ago, you know, kind of had a little negative, not a negative connotation, but it was like, well, it's for New York breds, and those really, you know, aren't that good. You know, they're restricted type horses. And, you know, the development and growth of that program has been remarkable in terms of quality. And I'm sure one of the horses on the cover this year, we haven't got it finalized yet. But, you know, when you're selling horses like Mind Your Biscuits, who goes on and wins races in Dubai, it shows you the quality of improvement of that New York bred program. So plenty of activity between now and through August. And then obviously our full focus in September will be on the Turf Showcase. So we've got, there's always something going on here. You're always recruiting. You're always, working on developing relationships and encouraging people to both buy and sell with you. And we'll be doing that again today. We may take tomorrow off since it's Easter Sunday, but we'll be back at it on Monday morning.
Well, Boyd, I think it's important to point out as we sit here in the showroom of the Lexus store of Lexington hosting this show from our longtime supporters here this morning. Of course, Fasic Tipton, a longtime supporter of Horse Racing Radio Network as well, through our trainer talk show that people can hear every Wednesday night on Sirius XM satellite radio. But I want to point out that when you come to the Lexus store, it's all about customer service, and it's all about the way that people are treated when they walk through those doors. And I would argue it's very much the same philosophy with Fasic Tipton. The way that you treat the people that sell horses with you, the people that buy horses from you, in my opinion, is second to none, and that's what truly sets Fasic Tipton apart.
Well, thank you, first of all, for that, and appreciate that. And it better be. We're privileged, and it's an honor and a responsibility when people entrust their product with you to sell, the consigners and the owners who allow us to sell their products, to place their confidence in us, is a significant responsibility and something that we take very, very, very seriously. And on the buyer side of things, there's very few people in this world who have to buy a racehorse or have to buy a yearling or have to buy a two-year-old or have to buy a mare. The process ought to be enjoyable. It ought to be fun. It ought to be exciting, invigorating. It's a passion, and I think that one of the things that I hope separates us from a lot of people in the world is, you know, I think most of our people love going to work in the mornings, or certainly like going to work most mornings. We all have a bad day every now and then, but our people, you know, love thoroughbred racing. They love the horse business. They're people. And we feel, you know, very fortunate to be able to do this on a daily basis. And, you know, we want to see the sport prosper and grow. We want to see racing continue to develop. We want to see, you know, the American sales continue to be the leaders in the world. And we feel very fortunate to be able to, some mornings I pinch myself and say, I get to make a living doing this. I get to wake up in the morning and go to work, and they're actually going to pay me to do this. So it's a, you know, it's a true blessing. And we've got a really good team. We've got a team that's been around together for many, many years, and our people work hard, and they take a lot of pride and care about the results and the performance of how we do it ourselves.
That's Boyd Browning, president and CEO of Fasig Tipton, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Don't forget all of those major yearling sales, the two-year-old in training sale, which comes up right after the Preakness. And, yeah, you can check out more information on their website if you want to learn about that turf showcase sale on September 10th. It's all there at FasigTipton.com. Boyd, appreciate the time, as always, and I can tell you we are proud to be associated with Fasig Tipton. Keep up the great work, and well done, my friend.
Well, thank you. You guys are great promoters and great supporters of a business, and try to, you know, you're trying to grow the game and you're trying to reach more people as well. And we appreciate your all's hard work. And, you know, I think the one thing that your group and our group shares together is that passion, that love of the game. And you all keep up the good work as well. It's fun to be going at this together.
Yeah. Thanks, Boyd. Appreciate it. Happy Easter.
Thank you. Take care. All the best.
All right, Boyd Browning here on HRN, and always enjoyable to catch up with the president and CEO of that organization. And by the way, I mentioned our trainer talk show. JT, you were kind enough to sit in, and your brother Bob filled in for me this past week, and you had a chance to visit with Kent Sweezy on the show. And that podcast is up on our website right now, horseracingradio.net, and really fun visit. You got a lot of great compliments on that show.
Yeah, we really did. It was fantastic, and he was a great guest, Kent. The up-and-coming young trainer hasn't even started a horse yet. He got in on the ground floor. My brother's suggestion, and he was a very knowledgeable guy, worked for some great people, and that podcast is well worth listening to.
All right, we're going to go ahead and get to our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, which you hear every single Saturday at this time. It's all presented by the Lexus Store of Lexington, which is always fun to introduce it when we are sitting here in the showroom of the Lexus Store of Lexington. Your Lexus Legends of the Turf will be followed by John Siskos, who is the Director of Communications at Woodbine. Then a brand new segment as we edge closer to the end of the first hour of the program, the Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase Race of the Week. We will take an in-depth look at today's Jenny Wiley at Keeneland. That's all ahead right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
On Sunday afternoon, October 28, 1973, 40,000-plus fans turned out at Toronto's Woodbine Racecourse in somewhat less than auspicious weather to witness the 36th renewal of one of North America's premier racing events. It was the Canadian International Championship Stakes over 1 5/8 miles on the grass. The object of all the attention in the race was the Meadow Stables Secretariat, who'd amassed a record of 15 wins and 20 starts going into the event. He was the American Triple Crown winner, having been the first to accomplish that feat since Citation in 1948, had set 3 track records, a course record, and 2 world records, and he was unscathed on the greenery. He had been Horse of the Year at 2 and was being mentioned in the same breath as the legendary Man of War in terms of ability. There was a genuine feeling of excitement surrounding his appearance in the International. His owner, Penny Tweedy, and his conditioner, Lucien Lauren, had selected this race over the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and the Washington, D.C. International for this particular start. On this championship day, people were lined up 3 deep along every path he took to catch but a fleeting glimpse of this marvelous thoroughbred who had been bemonikered Big Red, the same as the aforementioned Man of War. There were 11 other horses entered in the race, which brought the net worth to the winner to a rather tidy $92,000+. The reasons for the competition were, first, that Secretariat's regular rider, Ronnie Turcotte, was not to be in the saddle. He had received a 5-day suspension in New York, which precluded his availability as reinsman aboard Big Red. Eddie Maple drew the riding assignment, and he had been accustomed to riding Reva Ridge, Secretariat's stablemate. Secondly, the turf at Woodbine was softer and more dense than at Belmont, where Secretariat had great success on the grass. At post time, the weather conditions turned abominable, from a slight drizzle to a light sleet. Late on that Sunday afternoon, Kennedy Road went on out to set the early fractions and continued in the van after the first mile, setting fractions of 47-2 for the half, 137-3 for the mile. That was all she wrote, so to speak. Secretariat, the big golden chestnut, was set down by Maple and literally exploded in typical Secretariat fashion, zooming to the front going into the last of three turns. He led by 3, then by 4, then by 6, and then by 12 open lengths, leaving a totally demolished quality field of thoroughbreds in his wake. At the furlong marker, Maple eased up on the big colt and allowed him to waltz home the easiest kind of winner by 6 open lengths in a final time of 2:44-4, that time being only 4 ticks off the track record, and this in spite of being eased up, so to speak, at the end. With the 92,000-plus winner share of the purse, he pushed his career earnings to a new all-time single-season mark of $860,000 and surpassed the great Damascus's mark in so doing. He also became the 4th greatest money winner of all time, trailing only Kelso, Roundtable, and Buckpasser. It all happened on a meteorically, so to speak, miserable day before 40,000-plus racing fans at Woodbine in Canada, Sunday, October 18th or 28th, 1973, in the Canadian International, a truly great performance and indeed a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Hey, it's almost Mother's Day, and you know what? Your mom deserves more than a phone call or flowers or a card. Those are great. But a meal at Tony's Steaks and Seafood, where your mom will feel pampered, well, that's even better. They're open from 4 to 9 on Mother's Day. Go to TonySteaksandSeafood.com to make a reservation. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood, right at Triangle Park at 401 West Main Street. It's your mom. Come on. Make her feel great.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor, a 6-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Hour.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today. And it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a grade one winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable and is Tappet's only grade one winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at two, went wire to wire to win the grade three Sham Stakes at three, and was a runaway winner of the grade two San Fernando and grade one Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at four.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike, I'm standing here with winning owner Ken Ramsey. You just won the Queen's Plate.
We just won the Queen's Plate, man.
Ken, how special is this to you?
Oh, this is right up there at the Dubai World Cup. Hey, the Queen is probably watching this.
And I think there's a story that goes along with Sir Dudley Digs and the whole naming thing.
Anything that's associated with Her Majesty the Queen has got to be topped. All the royalty here today and all the colors and everything. And it's just amazing to pull this off. We picked this horse out at the sale and spotted him for this race before we ever bought him or anything. And Mark Partridge goes out, you know, and he likes him. And we have the Heart Lady come out and everything checked out and to come back and pull this off. 16-1. Look at that.
All righty. Thank you so much, Ken. Congratulations.
I got a little better than $3,000 on him to win.
No.
Plus, exactly.
All right, well, go take your picture and then collect your money. That's Ken Ramsey, folks.
That is indeed Ken Ramsey, folks, the one and only. 3,000 to win on Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Digs. Then he hits the exacta. Oh, and by the way, he gets all the purse money for winning that race, too. What a performance by Sir Dudley Digs last July at Woodbine. We were happy to bring you that coverage here on HRRN and happy to have you back with us this morning on the Equine Forum. And, boy, one of those moments last year that we're never going to forget because of the fact that, number one, it was our first Queen's Plate broadcast. The Queen's Plate, if you're not familiar with it, is the oldest continuously run stakes race in North America. It dates back well before the Kentucky Derby. The history of the Queen's Plate, Jude, really unparalleled in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it's a fantastic race. And Woodbine, if you haven't been, is just awesome. We had a tremendous experience there. The staff there is can't say enough nice things. We've been bragging about it since we've been looking forward to going back. And I wanted to mention that Ken Ramsey actually had the exact...
That's right. Well, we are joined now by John Siskos, who is the Director of Communications at Woodbine. Of course, we are live from the Lexus store of Lexington here in Lexington, Kentucky. But John is live from Toronto. John, welcome, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Jude. It was so exciting to meet you guys last year in person, of course, and we had a great time. The best Ken Ramsey story, if you recall, was he wins the race. There's a lot of euphoria, and he's bringing the horse across, and the horse props a little bit, and who tumbles onto the turf course? Ken Ramsey. So here he is, falling on the turf course, and all these sort of photographers are getting pictures of him, and he loved that moment. He loved the fact that that all these photographers got him tumbling to the ground.
Yeah, he did. Top hat and tails flying everywhere for Ken Ramsey, but he didn't care. He was just so excited to be part of that day and to actually win the Queen's Plate. It really wouldn't have mattered if the horse had run over him and come back again. It didn't matter to Ken at that moment, and didn't matter to us either because we had such a great time. You and Alex Fanti and the entire team at Woodbine were so accommodating and really bent over backwards to make us feel welcome. And, John, we can't wait to get back there and can't wait to see what happens on opening weekend and opening day later this afternoon.
Yeah, we've got, it's about going to be low 70s on the temperature scale, the Fahrenheit scale for our day. It is supposed to be mainly sunny. As I look outside, it's not mainly sunny yet, but we expect a great day. We have an 80 horse card up through 10 races, so we've got about a field size of about 8, and we got the Jacques Cartier Stakes as our feature. And we got 133 dates this year. The Queen's Plate's our big one, and that's on July 2. And if you recall, Canada Day, our 4th of July, is July 1. So we're going to put that together as a festival, July 1 and July 2, and create this sort of music and fashion and food and racing kind of atmosphere for both those days. That should be the same time of year for us.
Well, you're sounding like it's going to be better this year than last year.
Yeah. Well, look, we're trying some different things. You know, I mean, there's that key theme. As both you gentlemen know, across North America, we're racetracks are trying to package up these things to try and capture a lot of different demographics. To speak clinically about it, there's this new audience that is really keen to enjoy experiences, so we have to package them up. We are definitely racing still, but these millennials and these other demographics are really interested in these extra experiences. So people want to dress up. People want food trucks. People want all these other types of things at the big races.
John Siskos, Director of Communications at Woodbine, with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. John was introduced this past week at the Sovereign Awards is Matthew McConaughey North, and if you see a picture of John, you'll know why. Not far off, by the way, John. Not far off at all.
Oh, give me a break! It embarrasses me more. And Jason Portwano, the host, of course, he would go back a long way, and he felt the need to say something stupid like that. But no, it was very nice. What can I say? Mike and I should reach out to you and Michelle and Jude, of course. I mean, you were up for an honor this past Thursday night for the top broadcast in Canada in horse racing this past year, and it was such a tremendous broadcast, and you were proud to be nominated, and the Woodbine show that won was truly one of the best shows that we have ever done. And that's across the industry are saying that, and you should be proud of what your Queen's Plate broadcast from last year that was nominated, and it was so good to see the both of you there and enjoying yourselves. It was great fun.
Well, we were proud to be nominated. It's always a great honor and an international award for us. Fantastic situation all the way around. We're coming to get them this year. We're dead set on winning for the Queen's Plate this year. So looking forward to that. And it's always tough. I mean, those awards are nice to get, but the main thing is if you get nominated, your work is recognized, and we appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, and we congratulated Woodbine and the entire team at the top of the show, John, because certainly what they did, as you said, was maybe the best thing that's ever been produced on television there on the horse racing side of things. And, boy, what a race that they had to work with, too. You had Tepin in the Woodbine Mile, and when you get a horse like Tepin, you better pay attention because she is simply brilliant. And then you tie in the Mark Cassie angle. He, of course, won, his ninth Sovereign Award in the last 11 years this past week. So many great storylines there and so many good things happening with racing at Woodbine and in Canada.
Well, you're going to have Norm Cassie on later, I understand, gentlemen. And Norm was just so great that week. The access that we had to Tepin for all of our objectives, both from a broadcast perspective and social media perspective and mainstream media perspective, it was a perfect storm. When you have a good horse like that, you better put the effort into producing something really big. And if you look at Norm's Twitter feed and his picture in the corner, you see all these media people surrounding him with asking him questions after Tepin's win, and it was just an amazing experience, and our broadcast team was able to produce something that was award-winning.
Well, John, you mentioned the concerts and the event that you're looking to put together surrounding the Queen's Plate later this year, which, of course, ties into Canada Day. How about on the wagering side of things with this meet? What are some of the different things that people can expect when they not only attend Woodbine, but if they're betting Woodbine races here in the States, what are some of the guarantees and some of the wagering opportunities people can look forward to?
Sure. On the weekends, it's the early pick four goes for a guaranteed $100,000. On Fridays, it'll go for $50,000. And there's the 20 cent. Remember, we're 20 cents up here on the minimums, which is popular. And we endeavored that three, four, 5 years ago, something like that. And it's really been success for us because it gets the small player thinking they can spend the extra little coin on a particular combination. And then when we start up on Wednesday nights, which is in May, it's going to be $100,000, and that's going to $100,000 guaranteed. Pardon me, and that's also going to be the highest in the industry for a Wednesday night. So we've got a lot going on, and Superfect is on every race. You know, that's another positive. These are put that together, our wagering program, which there's some takeouts that are good, some that aren't, we appreciate, but we're really proud of our wagering program. We have volume, we have high profile talent here, so it's very important that we reach that remote market.
Communications Woodbine here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. John, want to wish you a very happy Easter and thank you for being here. Like all of our guests, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Of course, you can embrace your passion and wear what you love at Embrace the Race. Enjoy opening weekend and happy Easter, my friend.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, and we'll look forward to seeing you when you come up, right? Take care.
You got it, John Siscos. Nobody better, and nobody better than Woodbine right now. They really have things rolling north of the border, as they say. Quality, consistent racing, big fields, great purses, and we can certainly recommend, if you're looking to run a horse at Woodbine, looking to bet some races, Woodbine a great place to do it, so make sure you take a look. We're going to go ahead and get to a quick break. When we come back, a brand new segment. It's the Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase Race of the Week. We'll take a look at the Jenny Wiley, and then Norm Cassie in the second half of the show. Carl McEntee from Darby Dan also going to be with us in hour number two, and more talk with the Godfather, Tony Attiano. We're live from the Lexus store of Lexington on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor, a six-time stakes winner, including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Airdrie Stud is proud to announce the arrival of Upstart, the best 2- and 3-year-old son of leading sire Flatter.
But Upstart is pulling away, and he is pulling away impressively to win the Holy Bowl.
Upstart became the East Coast leading Kentucky Derby contender after demolishing a star-studded field in the Grade 2 Holy Bowl and retired a multiple graded stakes winner and six times Grade 1 placed with earnings of more than $1.7 million. Airdrie Stud's Upstart. Think about it.
Shackelford. Won or placed in 10 graded stakes.
Shackelford's got the lead. Shackelford Animal Kingdom. Shackelford has done it.
Won three grade ones.
One throw on the go. Shackelford is still there. They're coming down.
on to the finish at Shackleford.
115 buyer speed figures.
But the one who's got the courage in spades is Shackleford. He's out in front. Shackleford wins the claw.
Shackleford. Visit DarbyDan.com.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Claiborne Farms Flatter is carrying the flag for AP Indy, rewarding breeders in the sales ring and on the track. Among the nation's leading sires by Grade 1 stakes horses in 2016, this year's stars include Terrace, Upstart, Kobe's Back, Amy's Flatter, and most recently, Paola Queen, winner of the Grade 1 test stakes at Saratoga. Success on the track has led to big numbers in the auction ring as well, with yearlings this year selling up to $425,000. Flatter at Claiborne Farms.
This is Elliot Walden, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
5/16 to go, and Classic Empire draws alongside Syndergaard. They're two lengths in front from Not This Time, and Practical Joke getting up towards the inside within striking distance, swinging for home. Three Rules are swimming in deeper waters today. 3/16 from home, and Classic Empire clear by 2.5 lengths to Not This Time, who's finishing on determinedly. He's wandering about just a tad. Classic Empire to the 16th, about a length and a half. Not This Time is gradually wearing him down. Classic Empire, Not This Time, Classic Empire by a neck on This Time. They finished a straight in front of the rest. Practical Joke was third, and looking at Lee from last into the superfecta.
Classic Empire with a big win in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. That win catapulted him to the top honors as the Juvenile Champion of 2016. We'll see him in action looking to rebound from a poor performance in his three-year-old debut. He'll try to do that in this afternoon's Arkansas Derby, which takes place as race number 11 at Oaklawn. 100 points going to the winner in that million-dollar event, and certainly all eyes will be on the champion Classic Empire. He is 8-5 on the morning line. You're going to hear from his trainer, Norm Cassie, the son of Mark Cassie, coming up in just a few minutes, right after 9 o'clock Eastern time. Stay with us for that segment, and stay with us for this segment as well, a brand-new segment here on the Equine Forum. We'll do this several times throughout the year as we make our way toward that turf showcase sale at Fasig-Tipton on September 10th. It is the Fasig-Tipton Turf Showcase Race of the Week.
They're off in the Breeders' Cup Turf.
Giovanni adds the million to his Grade 1 collection.
Wise Dan's got him. Wise Dan, brilliant in the mile.
$3 million.
Turf.
Little Mike now to seize the lead as they make their way toward the top of the stretch.
Point of Entry has defeated Animal Kingdom.
Nothing like turning the Keeneland Lawn into your personal playground. It is all Teppan to win the Coolmore, Jenny Wiley.
And the Coolmore, Jenny Wiley, is today's Fasig-Tipton Turf Showcase Race of the Week. A field of 8 set to go. You'll hear the race live with us beginning 5:30 Eastern time here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can visit our website for more information and to listen worldwide. JT, mile and a 16th on a turf course that should be firm. A gorgeous day here in Lexington. 8 horses set to go, and all eyes will be on number 1, Lady Eli, as she looks for her 8th win in 10 lifetime starts. She is even money on the morning line today.
Yeah, she's just outstanding. Fantastic race record. Hasn't been worse than second in 9 starts. 7 wins, 2 times second, including her last race where she got beat by Queen's Trust by a nose in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, a sensational race. She's training great. Her last 4 workouts have been absolutely sparkling. She drew the inside. That's going to help her probably a little bit too. She's got tactical speed, Rod Ortiz, her regular rider, back aboard. And, there's no reason not to like her in there. She's going to make it tough to find somebody else to bet on.
Tony, you think you worry about the rail when you have a horse like Lady Eli?
I don't worry about anything with Lady Eli. But I do like a try box in that race.
You do? Who are the other horses?
1, 2, 6.
1, 2, 6.
I am
Lady Eli, Goodyear for Roses, and Time and Motion.
Time and Motion. 1, 2, 6. Try box. Go to the windows, folks. Go to the windows.
You heard it from the Godfather, and you always do what the Godfather tells you to do.
Hey, right. You got to be in it to win it.
Yeah.
Forget about it.
You don't want to lose any fingers. Or anything.
That's
who's
right.
Who's the most? All right. So if Goodyear for Roses, number two, could win, as the Godfather points out here, Corey Nakatani is aboard this five-year-old mare coming in from Santa Anita. Is Goodyear for Roses, Jude, one of the ones that could be a likely upsetter? And if not, who else could be the one to pull off the upset here?
Well, I mean, this is a deep field. Goodyear for Roses is having a sensational year. She's won, if you count New Year's Eve, she's won three in a row this year. And just she's in great form. Corey Nakatani rides her very well. He knows her. I think she has a chance, absolutely. Dickinson's an interesting filly. She's another one. She's won four out of her last five starts. She belongs to Godolphin Racing, and Kieran McLaughlin trains her. She's been training very well up for this race. Time and Motion that Tony mentioned from Jimmy Toner's barn. He's one of the best turf trainers in the country. She's a QE2 Challenge Cup winner. She won that race at Keeneland in the fall, so that automatically gives her a license to win this race. And another interesting horse is Kidura on the outside for Graham Motion. She won a race at Keeneland, the Valley View Stakes, a grade three last fall, and she's been training very well for her comeback. She won her first race fresh in the United States at Belmont Park, and I think that's an interesting thing to note, because Belmont Park's turf course with the big wide sweeping turns is a lot different than Keeneland's with the sharp turns. So she's obviously a very athletic filly. She can run anywhere, and she's by Dubawi, who's one of the best sires in the world. So really, it's a grade one. You would expect this kind of field, especially at Keeneland. So you know, Lady Eli is the top filly for sure. But there's several others in there that, on their best day, they could win the race.
Post time for the Coolmore Jenny Wiley, 6:12 Eastern. Again, it's all part of our coverage, which includes the Lexington Stakes. That kicks off at 5:30 Eastern time this afternoon on HRRN. And that is your Facing Tipton Turf Showcase Race of the Week. It's the Jenny Wiley. We're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. Then you'll hear a quick word for the Phasing Tipton Turf Showcase sale, and we'll come back with hour number two. That's next. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The inaugural Phasing Tipton Turf Showcase takes place Sunday, September 10th in Lexington, Kentucky. An exciting addition to the Phasing Tipton sales calendar, the Turf Showcase is the only yearling sale in North America exclusively for horses with turf appeal. Did you know that nearly 7,000 races were run on turf in North America in 2016? And more than 40% of graded stakes this year will be turf races. The demand is growing, so don't miss your chance to buy a yearling with true turf appeal. Sunday, September 10th in Lexington, Kentucky. Visit PhasicTipton.com.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Malagasy has the lead. I'm Trap going to try to gun him down on the wire. It's these two. Petrov is third. Malagasy, Untrap. It is Malagasy to win the Rebel.
Final furlong of the Toyota Bluegrass. IRAP with the lead. Practical Joke giving all he's got. IRAP. 31-1 wins the Toyota Bluegrass with Julian Leperoux aboard.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum.
Royal Moan, Gormley battling strongly. Gormley looming into the lead now. Gormley takes the lead, and Gormley wins the Santa Anita Derby.
Always Dreaming set down for the drive by John Velasquez, and he's moving away. State of Honor is up into second, an impressive edge. Canavera too little, too late. But inside the 16th pole, the 2017 Florida Derby to Todd Pletcher. And Always Dreaming, they won it by four in the end.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Barron and Pontiff. That's Penna and Feld with you on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Happy Easter weekend. If you're just joining us, we are happy to have you with us this morning on the Equine Forum, edging ever closer to that first Saturday in May. Haven't done this in about an hour, so how about this? 21 days, now just 9 hours, 29 minutes, and 51 seconds away from the Run for the Roses. And we are live on location at the Lexus store of Lexington here in Lexington, Kentucky. And the Godfather, Tony Attiano, is with us. We are broadcasting from this beautiful showroom. We are surrounded by brand new, what do you call them, Lexi, Tony? Is it plural?
It's Lexus. Lexus. Forget about the I.
Well, if there's more than one.
It's Lexus.
Chris McCarron, who is a Lexus owner, also asked me that question at one point. He said, if it's more than one Lexus, is it Lexuses? Is it Lexi? What do we go with?
No, we just call it Lexus. Just like I have a Chris McCarron doll on my wall over there. He signed it for me, and also my girls when I had the jewelry store in New York, and he was riding the big horse, you know, and they bought me a doll for Chris Cameron, so now he signed it, and he's a great guy.
Javier Castellano memorabilia.
My man Javier, his pictures hanging on in my room there. But he's and I've got his doll also.
Do you have a picture of Norm Cassie anywhere?
I have the original Norm Cassie.
The original.
I know his grandfather. Well, right. I knew his grandfather,
correct,
Norm Cassie.
Yeah.
And he was just an unbelievable gentleman. He was the president of OBS, Calibrita Sales. Great guy. Got to know his wife quite well. And real good people.
Well, Norm and his dad, Mark, were recently honored with their 9th Sovereign Award as Canada's leading trainer. That's 9 in 11 years. Mark Cassie is up for Hall of Fame induction this year. Those announcements should be coming out shortly. And, they're going to be a little busy this afternoon, too, because Norm joins us right now from Oaklawn Park in Hot Springs, Arkansas. They're getting set to saddle their juvenile champion, Classic Empire, in the $1 million Arkansas Derby. Of course, they have Catch a Glimpse going to the post in this afternoon's Coolmore Jenny Wiley here in Lexington as well. Norm, welcome, my friend. Happy to have you on board.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. Exciting day today.
Yeah, exciting day. How are you keeping all these balls up in the air?
I don't want to sound like we're taking anything for granted or anything, but this has kind of become an old hat for us, where we have multiple horses running in multiple places and everything, and it's a little different today because Classic Empire's running, and the racing world's going to be watching him, obviously. But we feel like we've gotten really good at doing these type of weekends.
Well, obviously, you have a big operation, and you play on a different level than many trainers in the sport. And, Norm, many trainers would give their right arm just to have a Grade 1 starter. Forget about winning a Grade 1 race. Just to have one Grade 1 starter. You're talking about two on the same day. And, as you said, it's kind of become old hat where you have horses running in big races at multiple tracks all over the country. What's that like for a trainer when you have so many good horses and so many big races on the same day? Put me in your shoes. What's that like?
Well, I think it's obviously, it's very, very exciting. Every weekend we're very nervous. You wake up and you're like, oh, today's the day. Classic Empire runs. Today's the day Tepin runs or whatever. But I think because when you obviously get a little bit used to not winning all the time. You win 20% of the time, you're doing a great job. So I think when you're running these type of races every weekend, you get used to, not winning, and it doesn't sting so bad, and you just look forward to the next one. And then when you win a race, you celebrate that night, and then you go on and you worry about the next weekend. So we never really think or dwell on anything too much because we always have so much action going on.
Yeah, that's a benefit of having a big stable. You have 9 more races the next day, and you don't have to sweat the small stuff, so to speak. But when you have a day like this where you've got horses running in two different locations, important races, do you and your dad split up, or do you all go to the same place, or how does that work?
Well, we have a tremendous team. Most of the time, let me just reiterate that. We have a great team, and we have multiple assistants at all these locations that are capable, that are trainers themselves, really, and we're comfortable leaving them to be in charge. David Carroll's a great horseman. he's at Kingland. He runs our Kingland division. He'll be in charge of catching Glenn today, and there's no problem with that. He's ready for that. He's been trained to do that, and he'll do a great job. So we're always very comfortable where we go. With that being said, usually Dad and I do split up, just the way it is. He likes me to be where he's not, vice versa. This weekend's going to be an exception. He wants to be here in Arkansas. I want to be here in Arkansas. And so we'll be together, but it doesn't happen very often.
Hey, Norm, Tony Atiano. I'm with Lexus, and I also had a farm in Ocala, and your grandfather, Norman Cassie, was a friend of mine. He was a great man. He helped me out an awful lot. So you're representing his name in a wonderful way. I know your dad, and I'm proud of you guys. I really am. Being ex-Ocalian, I mean, I know when they told your dad to go north, I didn't think he was going to go that far north. But you're up in Canada, and now you guys have conquered Canada. But I follow you like a hawk, and you're doing your grandfather and your father real, real proud. So nothing but the best of luck to you guys.
Well, thank you, Tony. I think you hit the nail on the head. The way that I live my life and the way that we run our organization, at least on my side of things, is that, you know, I had two grandfathers that were trainers for me. Everybody knows Norman, obviously, better. But, you know, I run it in a way that I want to make them proud. They never achieved this level of success, and now here we are. We're running the favorite in the Arkansas Derby, and I feel like, you know, they're watching down over us now, just enjoying the show that we're putting on, and that's a lot of the motivation that goes into this, believe it or not.
Well, God bless you and keep going.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Norm, let's talk about that favorite in the Arkansas Derby, Classic Empire, the juvenile champion. You brought him back in the Holy Bull on February 4th, and that performance was, well, it was not what you were looking for. He finishes third, but he was beaten about 10 lengths. Then after that, you kind of go through some ups and downs with him, and now here you are in the Arkansas Derby. Take me back to that Holy Bull and walk me through the progression as to what Classic Empire has been through and where he is coming into the Arkansas Derby.
Well, we were really confident going into the Holy Bull. We didn't necessarily know if he was 100% fit, but that was kind of by design. We didn't really want to come up for the Holy Bull. So we were a little apprehensive going into it, but otherwise, you know, we thought he'd run a really respectable race. I go back to the barn that Saturday, so he ships over from Palm Meadows. I go and check on him at the barn at our Gulfstream division, and he's just a nervous wreck in the stall, completely washed out, completely unlike him in every regard. We call him, we joke about him being a bad boy and stuff because he refuses to train and things like that, and that's him, but like in the stall, at the races, he's a sweetheart. He's a professional. He's like a little kid's pony. So already knew that we were in trouble when I go and check on him at the barn. Now they bring him up to the paddock, and it looked like he had already lost 100 pounds from sweating so much back at the barn. He obviously runs up the track. We wrote it off as, well, he blew the race, you know, during the walkover, during the barn area type stuff. Then 2 days later, I come into fast forward now, we're at Palm Meadows 2 days after the Holy Bull, and he can't even walk. And we're like, well, I guess this is the end of this. And turns out that it's just a huge foot abscess that blows out of his right front foot. And sounds like a really negative thing, but it was so much relief for us because now we knew why he was the way that he was before the Holy Bull, why he was so nervous, why he didn't run his best race, and why, and more importantly, something that we could fix and go on for. So the Holy Bull, as much as a disappointment as it was, we really feel like we have a good grasp by why he ran that way. Now leading up to it, he's had his little hiccups. He's refused to train. He's done this. These are things that he's done throughout his career. So it's not, anything that I'm too really nervous about. We did have to make the change to send him to Ocala to train him there where he first started, because we just felt like he did not like Palm Meadows. And there was a lot of horses this winter with us and other trainers included that just did not like the track. And we thought maybe getting him back home would be the thing for him. And since he's been to Ocala, he hasn't had a bad day. He's worked extremely well. He's well prepared. We got him here early. We've schooled him multiple times. So we feel like we've left no stone unturned. And other than being a little nervous about his fitness level going a mile and an eighth, we think he's ready to run a really big race today.
Well, that's the thing about the mile and an eighth. The fractions can be a little bit easier for a horse making a comeback, and that might work in his favor as well.
Yeah, and I agree. And, you know, I've been watching the racetrack here the last few days since I've been here in Arkansas. The track seems really fast. And even if the fractions are hot up top, you know, a really tight surface like this isn't nearly as tiring on a horse. So I don't know if he has to be 100% ready to be fit for a 9-furlong race here. But that's the big question mark today is where's his fitness level at, considering the time off he had to have with the foot abscess, considering the time he missed when he was refusing to train. He is, you know, I think it can be said that he's going to be a little short today. But him being a little short may still be good enough to win the race. But more importantly, we're looking for a foundation-building race, a fitness-building race, to move forward for the first Saturday in May and have the best horse possible for the Derby.
Norman, why do you think he has been so quirky over the past several months, especially with, you know, the refusing to train and things like that?
No, I don't know. I mean, his pedigree would suggest that he would do that. There's a lot of Pioneer of the Niles are you know, they're studdish type horses that kind of get their own way. That they say that Empire, his dad, was the same way. They say that Empire Maker's Mare was one of the meanest horses of all time. So a lot of it has to do with pedigree, Mike, but that's what made American Pharoah so unique. He was by Pioneer of the Nile, yet he was the coolest horse you've ever been around. And it was like, whoa, that's completely different than any of the ones we've ever been around. With that being said, it's not the last few months. This horse has been doing these type of things to us even before I went to London for the Royal Ascot. So this isn't something new that we've been working with. It's just something you guys know about now because he's the Derby favorite, and he's got a microscope on him and things like that. It's just, you know, if I had to really put a, you know, a finger on it, I would think it's just because he's so intelligent, and he just likes routine. He likes us to mix it up on him. Anytime we've shipped him to new places, he's never turned a hair. You know, he likes that. So that's what I think. I just think he's so intelligent that we got to keep things fresh for him.
Norm, I'm glad you bring up the pedigree, and I'm glad you bring up American Pharoah, another son of Pioneer of the Nile. Didn't Bob end up putting cotton in his ears or doing something to kind of help him tune out all of the noise surrounding him? And if so, is that something you would ever think about doing with a horse like Classic Empire, or would it even be necessary?
You know, we've flirted with that idea. We've never actually ran a horse with cotton in his ear, so I think we'd be a little apprehensive to do that just because it's not something that we do. Bob would do that with a lot of his horses. I don't know. This horse is just very observant, and so I see him looking around. I see his ears flicking, moving around, listening to things. And if that became a real big concern, I think we would do that. But I'm just telling you, I've been around this horse. You know, every time he's ever ran, I've been obviously, and like the paddock and everything like that has never been an issue for him. He ran at Churchill on 4th of July weekend. There were fireworks going off all around Churchill, you know, in the neighborhood. He never batted an eye. He goes to – he went to Saratoga. Now, there was the debacle that was him dropping the rider. But in the paddock at Saratoga for the hopeful, one of the, you know, craziest scenes in horse racing, the Saratoga paddock, never batted an eye. Kingland, Breeders' Futurity, never batted an eye. Breeders' Cup, never batted an eye. So noise and that type of stuff just does not bother him like maybe it did American Pharoah. Now, maybe as the crowds get bigger for him, if he wins today and he goes on to the Derby and on, we may have to address that because he'll be the one that everybody cheers for. But for now, we're comfortable with that.
Trainer Norm Cassie with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Norm, only about a minute or so left before we have to get to our next commercial break here, but quickly sum up what you're going to be looking for this afternoon during the running of the race. What do you want to see from Classic Empire moving forward to the first Saturday in May?
I just want to see him run a good race. He doesn't have to win. We'd love for him to hit the board. Everybody's concerned about the points. We're not worried about the points whatsoever. If he runs the race that he needs to run to build on foundation and fitness, he'll have the points. I just hopefully, you know, we win. But if we don't win, more importantly, we're a length or two behind the winner, and we can go into Saturday, the next big Saturday, the Kentucky Derby, knowing we have a fit, ready horse, ready to perform at the highest level on horse racing's biggest day.
Well, there you go. He's Norm Cassie. He and his dad, Mark, in Arkansas, looking to get the juvenile champion back on track in this afternoon's Arkansas Derby, and no better team to do it. Norm, as always, appreciate the time, my friend. Good luck today, and good luck. We catch a glimpse in the Coolmore Jenny Wiley, and we'll look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good day.
All right, good luck. Norm Cassie here with us on HRN. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. Keep in mind that is the official apparel of the horse racing lifestyle, no doubt about it. Great stuff there at Embrace the Race, and good stuff from Norm Cassie too, JT.
Yeah, very astute guy, and really his father's right-hand man. Great operation that they have, far-flung and lots of horses to take care of, but really sharp guys.
Yeah, and in case you're wondering, you heard Norm mention the points at the end of that interview. Classic Empire currently with 32 points. 21st, if the Derby was run today with the top 20 horses, he would not get in. He would be on the outside looking in. But he does have 32 points. A good effort today will get him likely enough points to get into the Kentucky Derby. So, as Norm said, he just needs to see a good effort. They're not worried about the points. That will take care of itself, and we'll see if Classic Empire comes back to being the Classic Empire we knew as a juvenile later today. Post time for the Arkansas Derby, 7:18 Eastern. That is 6:18 local time in Hot Springs, Arkansas. All right, one more break to get to. We'll do that, and then we'll come back. A quick Blood Horse News update, and then we'll visit with Carl McEntee from Darby Dan. We'll tell you about their outstanding stallions, and then some more conversation with our good friend, the Godfather, Tony Attiano. We're live from the Lexus store of Lexington on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The Kentucky Derby runs here.
And Nyquist is still unbeaten. He has won the Kentucky Derby.
We're proud to be your home for the 143rd Kentucky Derby, Saturday, May 6th, only on HRRN.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dreyfong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dreyfong's the leader. Dreyfong has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dreyfong that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 King's Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dreyfong being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillip's first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Spendthrift Stallion, Wicked Strong. The fastest Wood Memorial winner in a decade, with a final time of 149 1/5,
earning a 104 buyer speed figure, faster than any Wood Memorial winner in recent years, including Frosted, Verrazano, Gemologist, and Outwork. Hardspun's best son, Wicked Strong, bred 190 mares in 2016, second only to American Pharoah among freshman sires. His first foals are arriving now. Wicked Strong, standing at Spendthrift.
Fans, come on out to Santa Anita this weekend for great racing and great weather as we shift into full gear for the run-up to the Kentucky Derby in 3 weeks on Saturday, May 6th. The Grade 3 $100,000 Los Angeles Stakes will highlight this Saturday's card, and on Sunday, three-year-olds will take center stage in the $75,000 San Pedro Stakes. First post time is at 12:30. Admission gates open at 10:30. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Highway Star trying to catch Indulgent in deep stretch. Highway Star's gonna do it in the distaff.
Highway Star, the daughter of Darley stallion Girolamo, added another Graded Stakes victory to her impressive resume, winning the Grade 3 distaff at Aqueduct this past weekend, earning a 93 buyer speed figure and making Highway Star your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Girolamo, a fabulously masculine-looking son of the outstanding sire of sires AP Indy, who took the 1 mile Grade 2 Jerome at 3 and the 6 furlong Grade 1 Vosburg at 4. AP Indy's only Grade 1 winner at 6 furlongs, Girolamo has produced Grade 1 placed TDN Rising Star, She's Already, and multiple Grade 3 winner Highway Star from his first crop. Learn more about Girolamo and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and you are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
And they head for home in the Rebel in uncontested, and Malagasy, and they're pretty much even to the outside, and in the middle of the track goes looking at Lee and Untrapped, and here comes Untrapped outside of Malagasy. Malagasy has the lead. Untrapped gonna try to gun him down on the wire. It's these two. Petrov is third. Malagasy, Untrapped. It is Malagasy to win the Rebel. Malagasy won by 2.5. There are three noses on the wire for second. They are Sonneteer, Petrov, and Untrapped.
That's Vic Stauffer with the call of the Grade 2 Rebel at Oaklawn Park back on March 18th. Malagasy, however you want to pronounce that name. I've heard it a couple of different ways, but it won't matter if he wins this afternoon and heads to Kentucky. We'll figure out how to pronounce his name properly, but if he wins the Derby, they can call him anything he wants because he is just going to be the horse of the year if he pulls that one off. But he's been very, very good so far. He's a perfect 3-for-3, unchallenged. He has a challenge in front of him today, breaking from post 12 in the Arkansas Derby. He is the son of Darby Dan Stallion Shackelford, who is the number one freshman sire in North America. We're going to talk to Carl McEntee from Darby Dan about that outstanding stallion roster in just a couple of minutes. But before we do, it is time for your Blood Horse News update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Well, here you go. Ron Moquette seeks Derby return with Petrov. This is a great story. Mega trainer Todd Pletcher could have a half dozen entrants in the Kentucky Derby on May 6th at Churchill Downs after starting a combined 5 runners the past 2 years. On the other end of the number crunching for the Run for the Roses is trainer Ron Moquette, who is attempting to reach the starting gate for the third consecutive year. And just like 2015 with Far Right and Whipmore last year, Moquette is trying to do it again with only one candidate, that is Arkansas Derby contender Petrov. The consistent gray son of Flatter is outside the top 20 on the Kentucky Derby leaderboard, but a strong performance April 15th at Oaklawn Park could secure the points he needs to give Moquette his third consecutive trip to Churchill Downs. And let me tell you, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy and to a better trainer. Really does a great job, does Ron Moquette. And that is your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, you can head over to bloodhorse.com. And don't miss any of the Derby prep races or Triple Crown race coverage like only Blood Horse magazine and tablet can bring you. Plus, right now, you can sign up for the Blood Horse Derby Dozen, which is 12 weekly issues for as little as $16. Go to bloodhorse.com/dozen to sign up now. And if you have an iPad or tablet, well, that's easy, too. You can get each issue as soon as it's released. No waiting. That's bloodhorse.com/dozen. All right, well, Blood Horse is certainly your source for headlines, and Malagasy looking to make headlines this afternoon in the Arkansas Derby, but the Darby Dan Stallions are already making headlines and in a big way, and Carl McEntee is with Darby Dan. He's with us now here on the Equine Forum on HRRN. Carl, welcome, my friend.
Morning, guys. How are we all doing?
Everything's great, and I know everything's great with you. Big day today for the Darby Dan Stallions, and it's been a big Derby season. Tell me a little bit about what's happening out there.
Listen, it's been a fantastic year. We were considering changing our name to Derby Dan with what's going on, obviously. I think three really good sides represented. Obviously Shackleford has Malagasy in today. Obviously, he's 3-for-3 right now. It's a tough field. Five of the horses are finished behind him in the Rebel come back. Conquest Mo Money is going to be an interesting horse, obviously, finishing second to Hentz, and the form in that race is laid up pretty good with IRAP coming back and winning the Bluegrass, so, and obviously the return of Classic Empire. So it's a stiff field today, but obviously we're very, very proud of Shackleford and what he's done already this season. Obviously, he had a third at Keeneland in the Beaumont, Lanny, the Grade 3, three other stakes place horses already this year in Bantry's Girl, Tickle Pink, and My Ticket. 19 winners already on the season, had a winner yesterday in Decorator Jam.
Carl, what's been the key to that success for Shackleford? We mentioned the number one ranked freshman sire, a horse that, as you mentioned, has so many good runners out there. What's the key?
Listen, I think if anyone has the key, we'd already have found it. Unfortunately, it's sort of it's a little racing luck, and obviously he bred a large group of mares. He's had consistently big books, and it's a numbers game a little bit. He himself was a fantastic racehorse. I don't think there was any more honest racehorses out there for him. I mean, when that horse turned for home, whether he won the race or not, he gave you a reason to stand up and shout for him. And you're seeing that from his babies. They're just hard-knocking, very strong-minded horses that really put everything on the line for you. And I think that's all you can hope for from a young stallion, especially.
Yeah, he was kind of a throwback horse. He danced every dance. You know, Dale took no prisoners with him, and just a beautiful individual on top of it. He really stole my heart, so to speak, when he was running. I really became a big Shackleford fan, and I actually stole the little sign at Belmont Park that they had with his name on it. I think he's a good horse, and I'm so happy that... Yeah, that was so long ago, but he's the kind of horse that you just knew he was going to be a good sire because he tried so hard and he was such a good looking athletic horse that I thought he was kind of can't miss, and he's really proving that now. It's fantastic to see, and I'm really happy that you guys have him at Darby Dan. It was great to see you guys back in the spotlight again.
Yeah, very much. I mean, and obviously Shackleford's done well and dialed in our other freshman sire, who was second crop sire. He was leading freshman last year. He's got Gunavera on the Derby trail. It's Your Nickel that won the Battaglia Stakes, came back off synthetic. He's probably more of a synthetic grass horse, but he'll have a big campaign moving forward. Montu came back and won the Rushaway Stakes. He's had two allowance winners at Keeneland in the last week. So, all in all, I think our freshman size or our young size are doing well. And of course, not to be outdone, Taylor Vicardi showed up with Joe Sharp's horse, Gervin, who I think is kind of a quietly very sneaky good horse. I don't think they've reached the bottom of that horse yet. Obviously, had a good run in down in Louisiana, won the first race, came back, wins the Louisiana Derby. I still think there's more to find for that horse. So really, as we head into the Derby, we've got three very, very live shots. And it's fantastic for the farm and also for Mr. Phillips, who's probably one of the most stalwart gentlemen in the industry. So it's nice to see him doing well again.
Yeah, John Phillips, a total class act. There's no doubt about it. Let's talk about last year's freshman sire, championship freshman sire, and that's Dialed In. And you mentioned a horse by the name of Gunna Vera, who won the Fountain of Youth and ran a very, very good race, at least in my opinion, in the Florida Derby. Should set him up fine for the Kentucky Derby. But tell me about Dialed In and the success that he has had, Carl.
I mean, Dialed In, when he came out with his yearlings, they were all sort of precocious-looking yearlings. Stamped them very, very well. He was a horse that I thought would do very well, and the whole team at the farm thought would do very well with his two-year-olds. Obviously, Gunna Vera was his sort of flag bearer last year. And to be quite frank, I thought if you go back and look at the Holy Bull, he gets stopped in running. Irish Rorqui goes on and wins. You come back to the Fountain of Youth, he gets a proper run, and there's some very, very good horses finishing behind him. It's Practical Joke, who comes back, runs a game second to IRAP in the Bluegrass. Irish Warcry comes back out, heads up, wins the wood. It was an interesting race, the Florida Derby. A bit of a strange move, jumping out of the gate and turning left-handed towards the rail so quickly. I think he's a horse that has to rate off the pace, and he comes with a big run. So I think he gave him just a little bit more to do than he could do that day. But if you look at the race, he was a fast closing third. I thought he lost nothing in defeat, and I think he's a very, very dangerous horse come first Saturday in May.
Carl, I don't know if you know the answer to this question. I certainly don't, but when's the last time that a farm stood the leading freshman sire in consecutive years?
I don't know the answer. I'll just say I know we're doing it right now.
Yeah.
So it's we're delighted about it. I'm sure there's been farms before that have done it. I'm not sure if there's been a farm in recent history that's had three different stallions represented in the Derby, and especially two of them being freshmen. So we're riding a wave of success at the moment, and obviously not taking anything away from any of the other horses that are running, but obviously we're cheering for our three. We also have a sort of a smile on our face, obviously, because Mr. Oxley owns Classic Empire. He's a client at the farm, and if we aren't to win it today, I certainly hope that it's Mr. Oxley.
Well, well said. Carl McEntee, Darby Dan, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can learn more about all of the stallions at Darby Dan by going to darbydan.com and stop out and see those stallions. As you heard Carl point out, they are really on a roll. And, yeah, who knows? Maybe we do change that name to Derby Dan if they end up winning the Kentucky Derby this year, and they're going to have one heck of a chance to do it. Carl, as time, appreciate the support of what we're doing here on the network, and we can't wait till that first Saturday in May.
All right, well, wonderful. Thanks, guys, and keep up the good work. We'll talk soon.
All right, thanks. Carl McEntee, like all of our guests who appears on the program, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at embracetherace.com. Do you know the answer to that question?
I do not.
Now, of course, they haven't done it yet because Shackelford is currently in the lead, but we're sitting here on April 15th. But
right.
If he were to hold on and be the top freshman sire in 2017, coming on the heels of Dialed In last year, I don't know. I mean, maybe somebody could tweet to us or email us, mike@horseracingradio.net, and let us know if that's happened before and the last time it has happened where a farm has stood the leading freshman sire.
Where's Rolly Hoyt when you need him?
Yeah.
By the way, Gervin worked this morning, 102 and 4/5, and Gunna Vera also worked 1:03 and galloped out 114 and 2.
Mm, there
starting
you
to
go.
Get serious now.
He's got a very unusual Eastern Kentucky accent, Carl, huh? I couldn't pick that up at first. It was like East London. And nice. It would be a great article on
he's
him
from Hazard.
In Blood Horse.
He's from Hazard? Is that what you said?
He's done a hell of a job there.
We're here all week, folks, at the Lexus store of Lexington. Yeah,
let's keep them rolling, folks. Don't worry, we got to eat in the morning.
All right, we do have one more commercial break to get to. Then it's our Road to the Kentucky Derby segment presented by Gainsway. In that segment, we're going to spend a little time with the Godfather. We're going to tell you about all of the Lexus that we are surrounded by in the showroom at the Lexus store of Lexington. A quick reminder before we get to this break, don't forget that you can catch all the thoroughbred action starting this afternoon, 1 p.m. as racing returns to Woodbine Racetrack for the season. Woodbine going to guarantee the early pick four at $100,000 on Saturdays and Sundays and $50,000 on Fridays. They'll also be offering 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Pick 4 pools. And for horse players seeking more Pick 4 excitement, when Wednesdays return to the lineup on May 17th, Woodbine will guarantee the early pick four at $100,000, one of the biggest that night. Of course, that's not all. You can try your luck with the Thoroughbred pick five, now guaranteed at $30,000 from Fridays to Sundays, and $50,000 on Wednesday nights. And then give the jackpot high five a go, a huge potential for big pool payouts. You can check out the latest carryover and mandatory announcements at WoodbineEntertainment.com. We're back with more right after this on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown.
Power.
But Tapazar is just playing too good today, and it's going to be Tapazar and Garrett Gomez coming home with his ears pricked to win the Sham Stakes.
Passion.
And a big performance from Tapazar and Cory Nakatani as they romp in the San Fernando.
Performance.
And Tapazar, a sterling performance today. Tapazar and Cory Nakatani take the dirt mile.
Gainsway stallion Tapazar is a grade one winning miler by leading sire Tappet from the family of champion Untappable, and is Tappet's only grade one winning miler at stud. Tapazar retired sound with more than $972,000 in earnings following a career in which he broke his maiden by 10 and a half lengths at Churchill Downs at 2, went wire to wire to win the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, and was a runaway winner of the Grade 2 San Fernando and Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile at 4.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello,
boss. Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's.
Come in. Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Pin Oak Stud, home to Broken Vow, sire of 2016 Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner and Eclipse finalist Champagne Room, as well as other Grade 1 winners like Cotton Blossom, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, and Sassy Image. Also home to millionaire and multiple graded stakes winner Alternation by Distorted Humor, a six-time stakes winner including the Peter Pan, Pimlico Special, and Oaklawn Handicap. Alternation was represented by his first yearlings, which sold last year for up to $160,000, over 20 times his stud fee. Broken Vow and Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
There's a new leader at the top of the stretch. It's American Pharoah putting away Bridget's Big Lovey. Mr. Z moves into second. On the outside, Win the Space and the Truth or Else. There's an eighth of a mile to go, and American Pharoah is putting on a show. He has not been asked the question, but everyone knows the answer. He is indeed the ruler, American Pharoah. Breathtaking in a mesmerizing performance as he dominates the Arkansas Derby. Far Right was second. Mr. Z in a battle with Made from Lucky and Bold Conquest. That is one special horse.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, the Godfather, Tony Attiano, our producer, Sean C., Lee Delapina is back in our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios because we are on site this morning at the Lexus store of Lexington. That call from Frank Miramati, American Pharoah, winning the Arkansas Derby in 2015, doing it very easily for Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. American Pharoah, of course, would want to take the Triple Crown that year. He's one of three horses, including Smarty Jones and Sonny's Halo, to win the Arkansas Derby and then win the Kentucky Derby. Classic Empire and all of the other contenders hoping to follow in his footsteps later this afternoon and then 3 weeks from today in Louisville on that first Saturday in May. JT, we go down the road to the Kentucky Derby in this last segment presented by Gainsway. Very quickly, your winners, and I'm just going to ask you for the winner because you're so good at this, the winner of the Lexington Stakes at Keeneland and then the Arkansas Derby at Oaklawn.
Well, in the Stone Street Lexington Stakes, I'm going to take number 10, West Coast. This is Bob Baffert's horse. Typical Baffert, bring a California horse with speed to the east and win a race. And that's what he looks like he's going to do here. Flavian Pratt has the call and blinkers on today. I think a wire-to-wire shot for Mr. West Coast. In the Arkansas Derby, after listening to Norm, my opinion hasn't changed. Classic Empire is the best horse in the race, and I think he's probably going to win it, whether he's ready or not. He's the best horse in the race by far.
All right, we'll remind you that our coverage of the Lexington Stakes and the Coolmore Jenny Wiley comes up this afternoon at 5:30 Eastern. You can tune in worldwide, horseracingradio.net, and on terrestrial affiliates across the country. You can see a listing at horseracingradio.net. And, by the way, play the HRN Bet Back by Twinspires at twinspires.com/HRRN. It is back and better than ever. The Coolmore Jenny Wiley is this afternoon's bet back race. You make a $7 win bet, $7 show bet on one horse in the Jenny Wiley. If your horse is worse than third, well, you're going to lose that $14 bet, but it doesn't matter because Twinspires will refund the entire $14 right back into your account so you can't lose. It is a no-risk $14 wager on today's Jenny Wiley. Do it at twinspires.com/HRRN and play the bet back every time we're live on the air with one of our race broadcasts. Tony Attiano, the Godfather, welcoming us once again to the Lexus store of Lexington. I can remember doing these shows going back, 15 years ago now, when we were at the old Lexus store, which was down Nicholasville Road. Now we are on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, and this is really a show place. We are surrounded by beautiful new Lexus. Everywhere you look, they are just gorgeous. And I can tell you, Tony, I'm still loving my RX that I purchased from you a few years back. It is, I'm telling you, it's a dream, absolute dream.
It goes on forever, that's all.
It does.
By the way, did you know that Frank Miramani did a lot of stand-up comedy?
No. Yeah, I know he does different impressions during his race.
Yeah, no, he did stand-up comedy, and that's why he's calling races now. But
where are we going with this one?
Bada boom, bum. That's why he's calling races, right, because of his stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
I was just wanted to throw that out. Frank's not bad.
You're still a little thrown off from all the ice skating discussion we had during the last commercial break.
That was cold. But other than that, I love talking to you two guys. I mean, it's just like frickin' frack.
Do you believe it's been almost 15 years now?
Unbelievable.
That we've been doing this?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you were just starting out then, and you have really developed, and you know how I praise you all the time. You've just been spectacular, and you brought this Palooka over here with you, and he's worked out extremely well. He's terrific. He's knowledgeable. He's got the track in him. I mean, it's a blend. That's what life is about. It's a blend.
You know, you
could meet a beautiful woman, All right, and I've met a few. And if it doesn't work, there's nothing there. You can you might find somebody maybe not as beautiful as her, but there's a happiness there, you know? So it's I use that as an analogy.
How many people have walked through these doors at the Lexus store of Lexington and asked to talk to the Godfather
there's
over the years?
There's quite a few. And it, especially when we have new people here. There's my man, Charles. When we have new people here, they say, somebody's looking for the Godfather. Oh, that's me. When you're of Italian background and you're from New York and you have gray hair and you're a senior type person, you are the Godfather. But again, I can talk the talk and walk the walk. But I love the product that we have here. We are the luxury division of Toyota. I can't begin to tell you how good the product is. And J.D. Powers rates us number one overall on everything. Not only that, it's the philosophy that Lexus has. Their philosophy is, it's very, very simple. The customer is king. And I teach that when I do a lot of teaching of the new people. I tell them, very, very simple. Life is simple. We have the product. We have the guarantee. We have the highest resale in the industry. We have the best engines. Every Lexus engine is built to go in excess of 300,000 miles. Our service is lower than other luxury cars. You just can't beat it. But now we're making this ES350 that you see in front of us. 70% of the build in the world is being made in Georgetown, Kentucky. They did not, to show you what the concept is between Lexus and Toyota, we're one company, but we're two companies. We don't use the same line that Toyota uses. They built their own building. They built their own paint building. The paint building alone for Lexus at Georgetown is $2 million. I mean, it's $2 million. Everything is...
Just for the paint.
Just for the paint. That's just one process, okay? Everything about it. If the car comes off the line at the Lexus and there's a dent, let's say, in one of the panels, most of your car companies would just bang it out. They take that door, throw it away. Honest to God. And they crush it. They crush it and put a new door on. All right. Everything has to be 100% perfect. When Mr. Toyota wanted to build a luxury Japanese car, he had that concept in 1982. Everyone said, who's going to buy the luxury Japanese car? They were making four-cylinder cars, if you remember. Honda, Toyota, Mitsubishi, yeah. All those cars, right? And he came out in 1989 with the LS400. And from the get-go, it was number one. And J.D. Powers rated us the number one luxury car in the industry. And now forget, we're going up against cars that are $160,000, $180,000. And we're at that time $70,000, $75,000. So I love it. I love what the company stands for. If there's a problem, we take care of it. We don't just hide it. I mean, that's customer care. That's what it's about.
I noticed on some of the television monitors here in the showroom that Dwayne Burnett was recently honored with the Salesperson of the Month award.
Yes.
Was that an upset over Mike Hendricks, who was the Salesperson of the Year last year?
Well, it was a slight upset. He's yeah. But Dwayne is, a retired Air Force major. He's just been absolutely Mike has been in the car business for quite a few years, and he comes from a great family that's in the horse business. And I sold Mike's dad a Lexus, an LS400, 19 years ago.
Wow. So, I think we'd be remiss, Tony, if we didn't bring up the fact that not only are we talking about beautiful luxury vehicles, the cars themselves will, mm-hmm. well, they'll sell themselves when right. people come out here and they test drive them. But Lexus is committed to being part of the horse industry, the
Absolutely.
Equine industry here in Central Kentucky, and they have been for a long time. It goes back to the ownership group mm-hmm. that's involved with the
right.
Lexus store, and it goes back to the fact that you have a Keeneland shop
right
here at the Lexus store, and plus you sponsor a race at Keeneland, the Lexus Raven Run.
Right. This is the only Keeneland shop that's not at Keeneland. Okay, and Rick Avar, he's our one of our partners. He's the owner, him and Coach Patino and Jamal Mashburn. You can't ask for better people. When I came up with that idea many years ago, and he loved it, and he backed me, and he said, let's do it. So, because I said, you know, Toyota has the Bluegrass Stakes in the spring. We should have a race in the fall, thinking, you know, I'm $75,000 allowance race, something like that.
Yeah.
And when I met with Nick Nicholson, he had another thought. And he said, I have a race that we just lost this corporate sponsor. He said, it's the Raven Run. And I said, yeah, I never heard of that. I said, now, how much? At that time, it was $250,000. Now it's $350,000.
Yeah. You
know? And, you know, they backed it, and Rick Avar said, let's do it. But it's the horse business. I mean, this is the horse capital of the world. You've got some of the finest human beings that walk here. We know the finest equine stock that's in the world here. And now we have the finest car. I love to walk the backside of the track. Seriously, and I do. I park in the back by the stables. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just walk and I look and I see so many Lexus and Toyotas parked in front of the trainers' barns. And, you know, it makes me feel good. It really does. It sounds corny.
Ken Ramsey has his. It's Ramsey Red. Go figure.
Yeah. Well, everything's Ramsey Red, right?
Ken is, he put his money where his mouth is. He's great for the industry. He's a great owner. You can't ask for better people.
I was told if we didn't ask you about a horse by the name of Always Dreaming, the Florida Derby winner, we were going to be in trouble. So we have about 5 minutes left in the program.
Okay.
So why is this so important that I ask you about Always Dreaming?
Well, I am a hunch player. I'll do, you know, when I make bets, I not only bet the horse, I bet the horse, I bet the trainer, I bet the name, I bet the jockey. I all have to get that blend. I got to get that feeling.
Do you have a lucky teller?
No.
Okay.
No.
Lucky pen.
If I win.
We're Italian. We're superstitious.
Yes. Oh, yeah. If I win, I go back to that same teller. She might not be lucky. I usually go to a woman.
Right.
All right. I'll tell you that.
What a shocker.
And I do the same thing. I've just had better luck with female tellers than I have with the male tellers. I haven't had a lot of luck. But
I have no arguments.
But going back to dreaming, so I'm big on dreams, and Italians are big, big, big on dreams.
Yep.
Dreams scare the hell out of me. I just had an event in my life a few weeks ago, but that's another story. But and you know, when I saw this horse's name, Always Dreaming, I saw my own. You got to be kidding me. I'm a dreamaholic here. You know, when I dream, I remember my dreams. They're vivid, okay? So I was even telling my kid, you know, I said, you know, I got to bet something on this horse. I mean, there's no question about it. You know, and I won on the last race, and, you know. So he's in my picks. He's in my picks. I don't care. If the favorite was 1-5, I'm still putting some money on Always Dreaming.
He's a nice horse. He ran a good
race. Yeah, he ran a hell of a race. And, you know, Javi Castellano is not only a customer here, he's a personal friend. He lives in Garden City where I'm from. I lived in Garden City quite a few years, and Javi's just a great, great guy, and love his father-in-law and everything.
Yeah, he is a fantastic guy. Every morning when I come downstairs, I say good morning to Javi because I have a life-size photo of Stop Charging Maria winning the Breeders' Cup Distaff that my wife brought home from the farm. And so I go, good morning, Javi. And then I greet my dog.
Then he flicks his ashes into his jockey ashtray.
Yeah.
Take that, Javi.
Javi's been on fire lately.
Yeah, because you're flicking all those ashes out of his head.
I mean, horse players are about as superstitious as you can get, boy. Let me tell you.
You know, one of my favorite stories about walking into the Lexus store is when I came in and the Godfather was on a chair feeding the fishes.
The fish.
Right? And right now we have a beautiful young lady who is over here dropping some food in for the fishes. I looked in there. No fingers in the
no,
fish tank.
No, she's my protege.
I always have. Yeah.
No piranhas in there, are there?
Well, we're getting one.
You're getting one?
Yeah, we're getting one.
I always said that if you don't buy a Lexus, you end up
you
right
go
there.
In the tank.
Godfather puts you swimming with the
right.
fishes.
In the tank. Why do you think you have Kennedy Airport so populous? Right on the water, right?
That's right.
Then you get the Throgs Neck Bridge, you know, what that used to be for a disposal. My God, let me tell you. Italians love water. They really do. You know, you got all the Mediterranean. It's the way it is.
Cement booties.
Yeah, Bay of Naples.
Hey, by the way, I want to bring this back to horse racing for just a minute. You mentioned Todd Pletcher. We were talking about Always Dreaming, the Florida Derby winner. I want to send out a special congratulations to Todd Pletcher and his entire team, because yesterday when they won the Makers 46 Mile with American Patriot, that victory was the 51st stakes victory for Todd at Keeneland, pushing him ahead of his mentor, Dwayne Lucas, for the most stakes victories in Keeneland history. So congratulations to Todd. What an accomplishment that is to be able to pull off that feat at Keeneland.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, just absolutely tremendous. Godfather, as always, it's been an absolute delight, my friend.
I love you guys. You know that. Listen to you. I'm addicted to this show. I don't know how many years now. Saturday mornings, I get up. I know I got to do this. I got to do that, but 8 o'clock, got to sit down.
Well, you come out to the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. You ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Trust me, spend a couple of hours talking racing with him, and then maybe you'll get to test drive one of those new Lexus. But they're beautiful, and come on out and see the Godfather. Our thanks to everybody here for making this possible. Our thanks to Boyd Browning from Fasig Tipton, John Siskos from Woodbine, trainer Norm Cassie, and Carl McEntee from Darby Dam for being with us. If you missed any portion of the show, head to horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast. JT, we're out of here.
Yep. Great day. Thanks, Tony.
All right. We'll talk to you 5:30 Eastern on HRN. And, hey, why not go Steelers?
Good night, Barbados.